Sarah. How are you? You don't mind being the only one up here today? Nope, I didn't think so. I've got something that I want to show you. Can you put your hand out? Okay. I want you to rub your hands together and then smell them and tell me what you think of this. Can you smell them and see what it's like? What does it smell like? It's not a test. That's all right. Well, I'll tell you the flavor it is. It's called frangipani. It's a flower called frangipani. We're hearing in our Bible study today, our Bible lesson today, about a woman who poured ointment on Jesus' feet and dried his feet with her hair. Now, can you think of why she might have done that? You have to listen to the whole story, so you may not know, but can you think of why she might have done that? She was thankful. She was thankful to Jesus because her brother, who had been dead, was brought to life again. His name was Lazarus, and her name was Mary. And they were having a big party to rejoice that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. It was a great event. And she was so filled with gratitude that she poured out this ointment on Jesus' feet, kind of like this lotion I put in your hands, but a lot more of it and a lot more fragrant. That's what it would have been like. And we don't have Jesus with us for us to pour our lotion on him, but how else can we show Jesus that we love him and are grateful to him? What can we do to show Jesus our gratitude? By doing the right thing? Yeah, that's a good way to show Jesus our gratitude. Absolutely. Yep, that's a good thing to do. Anything that we do, we give generously. Anything that we are grateful for, we just are filled to overflowing with this love and this gratitude for Jesus that we have in our hearts. And one of the things we can do is show other people that we love them. Because Jesus said that the two greatest commandments were to love God and to love our neighbor. And one of the ways we love God is by loving our neighbor and making sure that we act on our love, that we do something generously and overwhelmingly because of the gratitude and love that's in our heart. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. We thank you, God, that you do rescue us. We are so grateful. Help us to lead lives of blessing and gratitude in your name. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Miss Teresa will meet you in the back for the children's church. And before the ushers come forward, I want to ask Dee Dee, as our new chairperson of finance, to come and give us a brief word, and then I'll invite the ushers to come.
Just a little commercial. All of you have your envelopes, and on the envelope is a place that is labeled special offering. And the counters and the finance committee would like very much, if you have a special offering to put in, that you specify what it's for so that we know where to put that money. Also, another place we could put that money would be in our reserve, our savings account, and it's for special needs for the church, like minor things like a new roof, a new air conditioner. As you can see, that's major things, not minor. And so there's not always enough money in the general fund to cover these expenses, so we do have a savings account. And it's called a savings reserve fund. And if you would like to specify that in special offerings, that would be very greatly appreciated. And just make sure we know where to put that money. We want to honor your respect, your request, and what you want to do with your money. So we thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We continue to serve God and worship today with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer today to offer our thanks and praise to your holy name. And we pray your blessing upon each and every person here today, each and every gift. We thank you for these wonderful gifts which go for service in your work. In Christ's name we pray.
Well, this morning, Pastor Esther talked a little bit about the scripture that we're going to hear a little bit later on and how that Mary had this very expensive fragrance that she used to wash the feet of Jesus with, and she wiped it with her hair. And I'm sure that it was very, very valuable to her because they used to sell things to give to the poor. And unfortunately, one of Jesus' disciples, Judas, since he was the caretaker of the money bag, got a little bit upset and said, "How come, you know, you didn't sell this and give it to the poor?" But Jesus told him, "Just leave her alone because I'm only here with you a little time, but you'll always have the poor with you." So I thought about this song as it relates to our scripture this morning, and it's called, "Jesus, You're the Center of My Joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my salvation, hope for all I do. Jesus, You're the Center of My Joy." Jesus, You're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You are why I find direction in the simple things of life. You're the music in the meadows and the streams, the voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finish of my highest joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. When I'm lost, feeling sad, you are the lifter of my head. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. My joy.
Thank you, George. We don't always get to hear from George, to singing-wise, that is. We hear his piano every week, but thank you so much for sharing with us today. Well, let's spend a few moments in prayer this morning, if you would, by silently closing your eyes and taking a couple of deep breaths. Because the presence of the Lord is near. And if you quiet yourself enough in your minds, it will open your heart to hear God's words to you today. And when you have connected with God and said your prayer, feel free to name it aloud or silently before us, that we too may pray for your need, whether it's the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in your life that needs to have the healing touch of God surround you in a very special way today. Hear our prayers, O God. Our loving Savior, you have called us as your ministers to live in this world. And you prepare our lives for the ministry, your ministry of reconciliation and peace, justice and mercy. Where we have felt your absence, O God, help us to bring comfort those who mourn and feel loss. And where we have experienced injustice, help us to stand for the oppressed and to speak out for the silenced. Where we have felt pain and suffering, O God, help us to pray and care for those who struggle now with illness, anxiety, or depression. And where we have felt hopeless, O God, help us to be living hope for the poor, the hungry, to do what we can to lift up one another. Call us into your ministry so that we might know you more fully. It is in your name we pray, and with your words we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, if you will take your hymnals and turn to page 134. And let's stand and sing, Oh Mary, Don't You Weep.
Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Our gospel lesson begins 6 days before the Passover. Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. The Greek word translated into English as dinner means more than just sitting down to a meal. It means a party, a celebration, a time of rejoicing. Last week, if you remember, we heard the story of the prodigal son, the man whose son came home, and the man said to his older son, "We're celebrating because this son of mine who was dead has come back to life." The father of the prodigal son said it symbolically, and here, it's literally true. Lazarus was really, truly, certifiably dead, and now he's alive. It's that kind of a dinner, that kind of a celebration, that kind of a party. And in the midst of the rejoicing and the partying and the hoopla, Mary does an extraordinary, extravagant, and celebratory thing. She takes a pound of pure nard, a very expensive and aromatic perfume, and anoints Jesus' feet with it. It was an over-the-top act, but it was an over-the-top sort of day, celebrating an over-the-top kind of miracle. This brother of mine who was dead is now alive. How many of us have lost someone whom we have dearly loved and have thought or said to ourselves, "I'd give anything to have them back again"? Well, Mary had her brother back, and she gave the precious thing that she owned in gratitude. Now, of course, she was criticized. Nobody ever does anything outside the norm without being criticized. And I'm guessing that Judas wasn't really the only one either. He was just the only one willing to put it into words. And in one sense, he was right. 300 denarii was a lot of money. It was approximately a year's wages for a working man, whether they were carpenter or a field hand or a sheep herder. And it would have gone a long way to help the poor. But in a more important sense, he was dead wrong. And not just because John accuses him of being a thief, or because we, looking back, know he will eventually betray Jesus for a similar amount, 30 pieces of silver. No, Judas is wrong because he fails to understand two things: the importance of gratitude and the uniqueness of Jesus. Mary is grateful to Jesus for the life of her brother. Jesus has given her a gift beyond words and beyond measure. Jesus has restored to her one who has been a part of her world for her entire life. And Jesus had to give up his own life to do it. As the previous chapter of John's Gospel makes clear, Jesus knew by then that he was being watched. Jesus knew that the powers that be, Herod the Fox, especially, and other leaders of Israel, both secular and religious, were about what to do about this man Jesus. In their view, he was stirring up trouble. He was stirring up resentment. He was stirring up a rebellion, which they feared, an insurrection, perhaps even a revolt. And when Lazarus walked out of that tomb, they decided it was time to find a way to put Jesus into the tomb. The last line of chapter 11 says, they had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was, so that they could arrest him. Mary knew then what it would take the others a long time. Jesus, in his act of resurrecting Lazarus, bringing him to life, Jesus had literally given up his life to give Lazarus an opportunity to live again. And so Mary anointed his feet for burial. Perfume was used by both men and women, and it was normally put on the head. If you remember from the 23rd Psalm, he says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." But when one was preparing a body for burial, one began with the feet. And Jesus was the one who named for them what Mary demonstrated with her actions. He says, "She is anointing me for burial because I am not long for this world. And you will always have the opportunity and the obligation to provide for the poor. But I am only going to be here a little while longer." Jesus' uniqueness lies in the fact that he was here with us for such a brief time. The vast majority of people who have believed in Jesus have had no opportunity to show gratitude to him for doing what he did for Lazarus, giving up his life to give us life eternal. But that temporariness is as true for the rest of us as it was for Jesus. We too are only here a very short while. And the older one gets, the shorter the time seems and the faster it goes. The uniqueness of Jesus' time on earth is completed by the church's proclamation that he was and still is Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. His presence with us as God in the flesh God incarnate was brief, but his presence with us as our Lord and Savior is never ending. Now, his words to us about always having the poor with us have more than one meaning. At one level, they remind us, of course, of our constant calling to compassion for those in need. But at a deeper level, they also remind us that Jesus lives on in the world, not just in heaven at the right hand of God. Jesus lives on in the body of Christ, the church. We are his hands. We meet the poor, the home with Mary, in being extravagantly grateful. The poor, whom we always have with us. Have you ever thought about it like that? Jesus lives on. These days before the crucifixion are dark days. Jesus is being pursued. The tension is building. But before you know it, Jesus has given himself up to die on a cross for us. I remind you again what this cross means during the season of Lent. It means that we carry our brokenness, whatever that is for you, and give it to Jesus. That he took our brokenness and healed us in his loss and death. Now, this cross has thumbprints all over it because I invited everyone at Ash Wednesday to come put their thumb in the ashes and put their thumbprint on the cross. And some of you may not have been able to do that. And I'm here to tell you that there's room for others. There's room for you at the foot of the cross. Jesus came for your sake and for my sake. Amen and amen.
Our hymn is 348. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Thank you.
a beautiful hymn. Amen. And Jesus does call us, calls us every day, calls us to new life in Him, and we are home when we respond to Him. We are home when we accept Him. We have found our complete and eternal home, which begins now. You know, at the first service we hear soon and very soon, there'll be no more crying, no more dying. And it's not only true when we go to that second part of our lives when we leave this earth, but also here on this earth, we are called. We are called to be His people. We are called and sent to the world. May the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and forever. Go in His peace. Amen.